I'm dude and asked her. Person I met up, and I'm new to abortion. I made this, when I made the home group, Recovery in the End, she's one of the persons that I watched in that meeting, and it was one of the deciding factors on why I made that home group. It's a real close group up there, and I give you Charlotte from the best home group in NA.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Charlotte, and I'm an addict. I'm a very nervous addict. You know, when Lance asked me to speak about Courage to Change, I was really confused because I thought to myself, everybody kind of knows about it. You know, we obviously had to have courage to come here to try to recover, to try to get this program. And I started thinking back and what I've been doing in my recovery since I got clean this time. And, you know, I can start early on. I knew a lot about change. I liked change because I got to leave behind my baggage. I moved a lot when I was little, and I got new schools, new friends, new boyfriends, new whatever I could to make changes because it was me. That I didn't like from a long time ago. I don't remember liking myself when I was little. I remember thinking like I didn't fit in from a very young age. I grew up north in Minnesota, Minneapolis, and like it seemed like everybody up there was German and blonde. And I have dark curly hair, and I just didn't feel like I fit in. So that was like the first thing I remember noticing. That I was different, and of course I changed that too, because I did all the hair colors. And I made a lot of different changes. I changed boyfriends and friends, and I changed my music, my clothes, all these things that were outside changes that helped me feel better for a short time, till I was ready for another change to feel better again. And none of it really worked. They were like Band-Aids. You know, when it gets to the end of using, you know, when you know that you need to do something, but you're really not sure what to do. I had been exposed to 12-step programs from a very young age. My mother belongs to another 12-step program that has to do with food. And I remember sitting in those meetings when I was very, very, very young. I think... My first meetings of on my own, I think I was 14, my first rehab, my first meeting, all that stuff. I learned a lot about how to fool people, and those were the changes I made. I changed myself to do what you thought I should, to stay out of trouble, to stay out of whatever, to get what I needed. Those are the kind of changes that I found I had to make. When I was 17, I made a change to move on my own down to Myrtle Beach, and that was like one of the beginnings of finding out that the change was location. It didn't have anything to do with how I felt inside. It was still my skin I had to be in, and you know, that was an uncomfortable feeling. And from then on, I don't remember being sober very much, sober, clean, whatever, at all. About 4 years ago, I was at the end of my road, or so I thought, and I decided to make another geographical, and I moved to Washington, Pennsylvania, and started coming to meetings. It wasn't on my own decision. It was something my parents decided. When I moved to Washington, I moved back home, and they had decided that I needed to go to meetings to live there. And that was one of the things that I was willing to do, but I wasn't willing to stop using or make any changes. I was what they call a relapser, chronic relapser. I know I would get clean for short periods of time, 2-3 months. I would never make any changes, real ones. I would stop going around certain places, or I would stop, talking to certain people. But I never made any changes. I never worked any steps. I never got a God. I never got any of the things that actually I needed to be able to stay here. I spent 2 years coming in and out, sometimes for a long time, sometimes for a short time. And I didn't make any changes. I met a lot of people, and I went to a lot of meetings, and I told people I was making a lot of changes, but inside I was still me. I was still in my skin, and I didn't like it. And then the end of my road came again, in the form of a very short relapse. I was out for about 12 hours. My last using, I was only out for 12 hours. Because when they say you put it down, you pick it up where you left off, it's very, very true. I actually could see a line in front of me that if I crossed over it, I wasn't going back again for a long time. And I clearly remember that day, that moment. It was like clarity. I had been coming to meetings, and they had told me to keep coming back. I'd made a lot of friends. I had a sponsor. I had all these things that we're told to do, that are suggested to do when we first get here, and I was doing all those things, but I was using, and I thought nobody knew what I was doing. I thought nobody knew that I was using after the meeting. I thought, all these things. I was in a lot of denial, and I got to this point. It was a Sunday, it was a Monday morning. I remember crying for a long time, and I remember that all these things that I had been told might just work. Because I had been coming for a little while, and I had this sneaking suspicion that, like, something you guys were doing was working. And, I don't know about you guys and what you guys are really doing, but something's working. And how come it's working for them? And how come all they do is see them coming to meetings, they're not doing anything different. They're just going to meetings like me. I can't get this. How come I can't get this? And I remember being scared that, the other fellowship talks about, constitutionally incapable and stuff like that. And I thought that was me for sure. I thought that I was incapable of getting this program. But you know what the thing is? I didn't want it. I didn't think I needed to do what all unions had been doing. I didn't think that I needed to do 90-90. I didn't think that I had to work steps. I just had to go to meetings. And when I found myself on that Monday morning, really beat down, I picked up my last key tag that night, last white key tag that night, because I had a drawer full of white key tags. It was a big joke in Washington, actually. Whenever we'd run out of key tags, they'd ask me to bring my white ones back. I actually got resentment behind that one too. I remember picking up that last white key tag, and I was in a meeting in Washington where over 100 people attend every Monday night, and I think every person in that room hugged me, and I was a blubbering mess by the time I was done. But I felt something, and I felt some love, and I felt, I felt all these, I heard all this stuff, it's okay, keep coming back. And I'd heard it all before, but it didn't hit me the way it did that night. I thought to myself, okay, I have to figure out what it is they're doing. Why are they getting this? How come I'm not getting this? What's going on? And I found out that I just had to talk to God. I just had to talk to my God and say, I don't have to worry about today. Can you please help me stay clean today? And it started out with some real basic stuff like that, because I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know how to get down to what was really bothering me, and that was me. I didn't know about any of that stuff. I've been coming around here listening to all you people talk about stuff that, I sat through. I don't know what I was listening to or what I didn't hear, but I hadn't picked it up exactly. That, for me, it has to be based in my faith. Because I didn't have any courage. Because when I stopped using, I was scared to death. I was scared for my obsession to use after I got clean this time lasted for 10 months. It was unrelentless. It was awful. I would cry. I would pray and I would cry and I would curse God and I would say, how come I have to feel this way? How come my depression isn't lifted right away like other people's get lifted? Oh, I got clean. I didn't feel like using again ever again. You know, and I'd be like, ugh. You know, but I found out that, like, my God wanted me to go through that. My God wanted me to sit and be miserable and work at this and hold on by my teeth for this program. Because what I found out in that 10 months was that I had to rely on God. I had to rely on God because I didn't have courage. I didn't have anything. And in that 10 months, I found out that if I have some faith in this program and a few people and my God, that I got through that. I got through 10 months of, I still look back and I'm in a meeting every night, and people in Washington, when they would roll their eyes at me about the white tee tags, those same people would roll their eyes about me talking about, I want to use today. Every day for 10 months, I was in a meeting talking about, I want to use today. I want to use today. I want to use all day. I want to use later. It didn't matter. I wanted to use, and it wasn't about anything. It would be going great. Everything would be going great, but I'd still want to use. Things would be going bad. I'd still want to use. It didn't matter. I was used to using, and that's what I wanted to do every day. And in that time, I wasn't able to bring myself to work a step. I was scared, too scared to use. I had tried to work first step before and used it as an excuse to use. I was scared that if I felt some pain, that I would use. I felt that if things got a little too tough, I might use. And I was so scared about using that I was scared to work my program, too. But what I found in that 10 months when I wasn't looking, like just something happened. And this program came into my heart. I was so concerned about not picking up. I wasn't able to see that I was helping people by talking about that. I wasn't able to. It wasn't until a long time later that people came up to me and said, you know, I remember hearing you kick your stuff. You know, I would cry in meetings. Why do I want to get high? You know, I didn't understand why I had to go through this obsession from you know where. You know, I didn't understand why I had to do that. I remember somebody talking about, my obsession was lifted in 6 months. That's it. It's going to be gone in 6 months. And it wasn't. You know, and I thought that, she told me it'd be gone in 6 months. But I believed whatever you told me. And I filled my life up with some things that were far from using. I became very active in my home group. I was lucky that my home group needed a GSR, and they were willing to let me become a GSR at 3 months. I was elated to be in the middle because they told me I had to stay there. And I found out that this program has all these things that help us on the inside only. If you stay on the outside, you're not going to get the help you need. And I found out that if I stay connected and I make friends and I reach out and I get a we and I pray. I pray about a lot of different things. I talk to my God like he's a friend. I was raised with a loving, caring God, except that he was higher than me, he was more than me, and I couldn't ask for anything. But you know what? I ask for help on a daily basis. I ask for help getting along with people. I ask for help. Today, it's a little, not so much about using, so much about using, because it's still always about using. But I asked for different things today, and I've never asked for courage. And then when he asked me to speak about courage, I thought, I don't have courage. What is he talking about? I don't have courage. But what I found was that I have faith, and he gives me courage. I don't have it, but he gives it to me when I ask for help. I have an awesome God. He's got a really good sense of humor, and he gives me exactly what I need. Sometimes I find it really ironic. His opinion is a lot different than mine about a lot of things. I found that I don't so much have to have courage as long as I have him and have faith because I get what I need. I don't need, I really don't understand courage so much. I understand the change part. I don't understand the courage so much because I don't feel like I have a lot of courage. I've had a lot of people in my week tell me, you have a lot of courage. Look what you've done. But you know what? I haven't done this because what I did was I came here and I let people help me. I let my God help me. I didn't know how to do this. I didn't know how to stay clean. I remember crying in a meeting talking about, you know, how come I have to grow up at 30? You know? there's a woman in there going, how come I got a girl for 40? What are you talking about? So, I mean, what I found was that when I was praying for people, when I was praying for help and stuff like that, I found out that there's more than just me in this world. And when I realized that I wasn't, you know, the thing in the world, it was a big revelation, because I thought my feelings, me, my money, my car, my this, my that was the only thing there was. It didn't matter that you didn't have this, or you didn't have that, or you needed me to help you with that. I had this. Screw you. But what I found out was that in helping people, my faith is raised up. I'm able to show people what I can do for them, but how I can help them and get this program. I didn't get this program right away. What happened is the program got me. I just kept coming here, and it just got me. It got into my heart, and I think that's where I get my courage. I don't really feel like it's something I deserve. I'm coming up on an anniversary in less than 2 weeks, and I was going through a period a few weeks ago where I was like, I tricked them. What's going on? This is, like, not real. How come this is happening? I just don't get it sometimes. I feel like I've flown through these few years here. And, I haven't. I've worked really hard. And it's only because of my God. It's only because of my higher power that I'm able to stay here through some stuff that's happened. And what I found out, too, is that I don't have to control everything, because I have faith that he's got it. He's got it. That's one of my little things I got to think to myself all the time. It's like, God's got it. Because, I like to think that I'm running the show. I'm a big control freak. I love my home group, but some of my home group thinks that I got a lot of control issues. That's okay, too, because if I wasn't there, somebody else would do it. And for a long time, I didn't know that. A long time, I thought that my home group would just fall apart if I wasn't there. But what I found out is that I'm just a part of this program. I'm not the program. It's not my program. It's NA. It's a whole bunch of people that have found something here. And I'm really, really grateful that I found what I found here, because I'm just going to keep giving it back, because I don't know how to keep it unless I give it back. I have a really great Wii. Without them, I don't think I'd have learned some of the things I've learned. And in sponsorship, too, I've found stuff about myself. In helping someone else, I'm sitting there telling people, maybe you should do this. Maybe you should do this. I'm suggesting things to them that I never did myself, and I'm learning it along with them. The same thing with my son. I'm raising my son today, which is an awesome miracle. And I'm trying to tell him at 5 years old that sorry means you're going to try not to do it again. But I didn't know that for 30-some years, It took me that long to figure out that when I said I'm sorry, that means, I'm trying not to do that again. Not, sorry, I'm going to be back to do it again later. But that's some of the things the program has taught me. It's taught me that, I can be okay with me today. And I'm pretty comfortable in my skin today. And I go through periods of, this self-esteem crap. And I go through a lot of different things, but I know that as long as I keep my faith, as long as I keep praying, that everything's going to be okay. I just experienced something last Sunday that was awesome for me. I'm a big worrier, along with my control issues, and I worry about everything, and I got to plan this and plan that. And last Sunday I had this feeling of peace, just from saying, I'm not going to worry about this today. And this awesome feeling of peace came over me. And it's only because I decided to let him handle it. I don't have to handle everything. And that's, I think, exactly where my courage comes from, is my higher power. I don't have any. All my changes were made from fear. They were fear-based, self-esteem, like that low self-esteem stuff. That's where all my changes came from. But he instills something inside of me that I'm able to make some changes today that are healthy. It helped me grow, and the steps are a big part of that. When I found exactly who my higher power was in the third step, I was blown away. And I'd grown up with God. I'd gone to church for as long as I my mother made me. And I knew about God. I believed in God. But I had walked away from Him. And when I found my God, because in my third step I found out who He was, what I thought He should be, you know, and what I expected from my higher power. And you know what I expect is just for Him to take care of it today. I don't have to worry about it. And I don't have to push things along. And I don't have to try to dope fiend stuff, because I do that a lot still. Still, it's my mom told me yesterday or the day before, you know, you're dope fiending me. Learning this wording, you know. She's 72 years old. That's the name of my dope fiending. But see, I've been doing it to her for so long, she finally knows the name of it. That's all. And I wasn't that time. You know, that's the ironic thing. Actually wasn't that time. But you know, I don't know about you, but if you don't have a God, get one. Mine's awesome. You can borrow them. I'll let you know all about them if you need to know. I'm really grateful to be asked to share here. And
it's time to introduce the next speaker. Where'd he go? Oh, there he is. This next guy, he's from Washington, PA, too. It's about honesty, and he owes me a couple dollars from last night, but I'm willing to let that go. This next guy, first I'd like to say to the committee and to Lance, it is an honor to do this, because Lance is my sponsor, and without meeting people like this in the rooms, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And by meeting him, it opened up the door to all you beautiful people that are in my life today. And that truly means something to me. And this next guy, like I said, he's from Washington, PA, too. And my sponsor is Lance. And I was working this night shift, and I didn't have nobody. I was new in the area. And it was time to reach out for a weed. And I got this guy's phone number, and the next day he was right over there. You know, he was always there for me. And the courage that he gets, I'm sure, didn't come from the streets of West Newton, you know. So, and he does have some trying sponsees in his life. So with nothing further, I give you Phil from Courage to Change.
Hi, everyone. I'm Phil, and I'm an addict. And I'm here to tell you, when I first walked in, I was sort of pumped because I had a little gospel up in me. I prayed a little bit. Then Charlotte kept talking, and I said, oh, man. And every time I get everything just died and went away. But I want to say this. Can everyone say that they're a miracle today? Because you woke up this morning, and you're still clean. You remember what you did last night. Now, you know, I have to thank God daily for the things that I've gotten. And the things I've gotten was the courage to change. And the only way that I got that was through Him. Because in my belief, and I don't know if everyone else wants to believe this, but for me, I found God. God took me to the rooms, and the rooms took me right back to God. Because how do you think I got discouraged? I got the courage from understanding that I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. And that's my higher power. Because He taught me that I don't have to be that child that I was. That little scared kid who was scared to run home and say that I got beat up because I may get beat for getting beat up. You know, all that shame I had because I slept in this house where we didn't have a bathtub and everybody else had a shower and a bathtub. You know, I had all this guilt. I felt terrible. I felt less than. You know, then I found God, and God said, boy, you're just cool just where you're at. No, I didn't understand that. He gave me hope. He gave me that belief stuff, you know? Where does my faith come from? It came because it said that, I read this, it said that faith, you know, was the confident assurance that things hoped for were going to happen. I said, oh, that shit sounds good. But I couldn't get that through the lottery because I tried it a couple times, you know. But it said that, you know, my faith meant that, like,
All I wanted to be was Phil. I said, it's all right to be Phil and you'll be all right. Because when I used to look in the mirror, I didn't like Phil. Because I didn't know who Phil was. Because I had all these masks for everybody except the one who was really me. You know, I mean, many times I'd pull this one and that one, seemed like another one just popped up. But now I can see a little bit clearer, you know, because I had a little faith and a little trust. And this is the miracle that by coming to these rooms and getting help from you people through God, I said, I never want to let that part get slipped out of here, through God, because everything you get from everybody is not godly, you know. Because if you ain't giving me some love, you know, some trust, some forgiveness, some honesty, some of that shit just ain't all right. So I have to understand that as long as we're all here together, you know, our common unity must come first, you know, because you can help me just by me seeing you and getting a hug today. Because out there in the street, didn't nobody want to hug me. Who would hell would want to hug somebody who ain't took a bath and ain't brushed their teeth in 4 or 5 days? You want to hug me? Because I was a crackhead. Dope thing. You know, didn't bathe, sweat every day, couple times after a little hit. You know? That's how I was. But see, today I feel so much better because I bathe every day. I get to brush my teeth every day. But never mind. But faithful. Yeah? But see, when I was getting high, I didn't do that because I didn't care. You could call me the snaggletooth addict. I didn't care. As long as you would give me a hit, call me what you want. But see, today I don't care about that hit. I care about what I got on the inside. And I'm here to tell you that the courage to change for me was to learn how to be a father. But most importantly, I had to learn how to be a son. Because I didn't know how to be a father until I learned how to be a son. How am I supposed to act with my father? How am I supposed to act so I can teach my son how to act with me? I had no clue. You know, it just took a process of change. And I had to go to God and to talk to some of you people on how to change. Because see, when I started recovery, my son was out there getting high, running around. And I wanted to help him. I had the best of intentions. Like, what can I do? What can I do? And I kept trying. I'm going to do this. You know, he got out of jail. I had him a home group and a sponsor. And I had his weed. You know, he was going to be Phil Jr., you know, recovery debonair. But what can I tell you? I had to go to God, and God told me, and some people in the room told me, the only thing I could do is pray for him. And the only thing I could do is be an example. It ain't so much of that stuff that went on when I was a kid, do as I say, not as I do. No, I got to be an example. And through work and such, I learned how to be an example. How to wake up in the morning and say, you know what? Whether I feel bad or good today, whether I'm tired or I'm sleepy, I'm still going to have a good day because I'm going to pray to God. He's going to take care of everything. I don't have to worry about all that other bullshit. I let give it to God. He says, okay, Phil, everything will be all right. I went through a struggle with my job where I thought I was going to get fired. And that was about 3 months ago. And the past month, I've had my boss tell me 15 times, Phil, you're doing a great job. You know, and I'm like, how did that happen? I really didn't think I did anything different. But you know, as I think about it, when I had that worry, I took it to God. And I prayed about it. God, help me. Just like I did when I got clean. Because when I got clean, I didn't know there was going to be some changes. All I wanted to do was stop getting high. All I wanted to do was stop feeling the pain I was feeling. I mean, I'm in Washington because I went to Washington City Mission. I was homeless. I had no clothes, hadn't bathed, all that stuff, you know, and I stayed there a long time. And that was all right because that was a blessing for me. I was one of those sick, dope things who had to be smacked in the head because when I got there the first day, I met a man who took me to church. Played football with this kid, drank with this guy. He took me to church. How I got an apartment was the first woman I hugged in church was the woman I had to have an interview with for my apartment. No, that just wasn't me. It's not what you could call luck. You know, I was just blessed. All these people were set in my path by God. You know, I had some things happen in my recovery that were painful, that a lot of people didn't want to use an excuse to go out. I got the excuse. I had about 80-some days clean. Somebody murdered my daughter. She was 19 years old. God kept me sober, kept me straight. I had no idea. It wasn't until I got a year that I figured out God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Blessing was, when I was talking to a guy talking about all the pain, I had another guy come up talking about his pain. I talked to him, sharing with him, and when I got done sharing with him, all my pain was gone. I can't tell you how it happened. It just happened. You know? And all I can say is, through working the steps, made me start understanding me. Let you know that I was a liar. I was a cheat. A lot unfaithful to women. A lot of scandalous shit I did. You know? But guess what? I don't lie as much. I cheat a lot less. I'm a little bit less scandalous, even though I still keep a little bit in there, because I always throw a little shit in the game. Right? Yeah, I know Crystal. Huh? But that's all right, because it's a process. And I have to thank God that it's a process, because if I was getting what I was supposed to get, if this was a just God, how many of us would really be here? But God got mercy, and He knows that we are true in heart, because our spirit is within us. And all we got to do is get down inside us to let that stuff get out there and just glow. You know? How you say it, Matt? That high pro glow? Yeah, he knows all about that. He's trying to glow a little bit himself. But, you know, I love the program, because the program allows me to enjoy me. You know, I don't have to sit down and put on a mask and say, here, this is who I am today. And, you know, and it's about trusting God, cleaning the house, and helping others. Now, I don't know how many people say they do trust God or who they don't trust God, but I remember this here, what they call it, these. You trust these, don't you? Every time you go to the bank and they give you one of these, and you go to the store, you pull out one of these, you trust that this is going to work. I don't know one of these that they make out here today that does not stay in the back of them. In God, we trust. Oh, they thought, oh, yeah, that's what it says. In God we trust. So when you pull this out and it says 99 cents, you trust that you got a dollar and you're going to get a penny back, right? You trust that, right? Everyone is do. Because if you says 99 cents, you give them a dollar, you know you got that. So, you know, so that's what I mean, like, in working the steps and working my steps, I trust God. Because when I got to the third step and turned my will and my life over to care of God, I have to do it the way it says. I turned it over to Him. So now, I got to get back away from the steering wheel. Can't touch the pedals or the brake. I'm just going to sit in the back seat and enjoy the ride. Because now I got to do a little bit of work, you know, like making the right decisions and not the wrong decisions. And I have to think and become aware of those things. And God gives me a little bit more clarity as my days go on. You know, because, see, I didn't have that clarity. I'm a dope fiend. You know, my first instinct is to get you. You know? My first thing, now see where I get God from. God helps me to understand that getting you is not the right thing to do. Now I have to practice that. And that comes from the awareness that He allows me to have. And that's the courage, to me, that's the courage to change. Because changing means I have to do stuff that I'm not comfortable doing. And letting you know, I'm not comfortable when you drop $20 on the floor, not picking it up, putting it in my pocket. Because I'm really, you know, I'm really into that. You know, little kid shit, finders, keepers. I was real good at that. I even found some of your money in your pocket. I was going to keep it. I say, finders, keepers. But see, that's where the change comes. The change allows me to become me. I was never me in all my life. I thought that because you went to a vacation in Florida when I was a little kid because I didn't go because I wanted to feel as good as you. I made it up in my mind that I went on that vacation too. I had to find out that I was delusional and get out of delusion into reality. And God had to help me through that because I felt as long as I stayed delusional, the inside of me somewhere felt all right. I had to get all right with the inside of me no matter what I did. Just because you went to Florida, I'm glad you went. Okay, you went there to get you a tan. I got mine. You know? See, you know, I got to be all right with me. And that's exactly where the change has to come. The change comes with me saying that I like Phil. Phil may be broke. Phil may drive a hoopty, but Phil feels all right on the inside. To me, having my son tell me that he loves me makes me feel good. Because there was a day when he didn't love me. Well, I don't know if it was love that he didn't have, but he was ashamed of me because of how I acted. The way that I acted with people. I was beating people. I looked like shit. I wasn't the type of person that you could say that's my dad. Because if you told someone that's my dad, everybody would be talking about you. How could you have such a nasty looking thing for a father? You know? But speak to dad, I don't have to feel that way. And my son can say, that's my dad, and be proud and be honest about it. And that's what makes me feel good on the inside. I had to get it with God to get those feelings because I never had them. I had no clue on what life could be like until I found God in recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. They said that I had to surrender. I know nothing about surrendering. I'd fight you 3-4 times before I'd surrender. You know? And I fought life just like that because I felt that I had control. I didn't know that if I just gave it to God, you know, I could just have all the control in the world because I just, here, God, this is what I need to do. Sit back. He shows me the right path. I had to work those steps. I had to learn to figure out through 4 and 5 exactly where the nature of my wrongs were, my misconduct, and you know, my fears and my resentments. I won't call it sex conduct, Bethany. You understand. But, you know, I had to understand those things about me that were wrong. Getting 6 and 7, and when I got to 6 and 7, I wasn't ready to give everything up. But see, I had to ask God to make me ready, to make me willing to give everything. And I still haven't given everything up. You know, but it's a process. You know? Then I had to learn how to make an amends, how to tell somebody I'm sorry. Just like you said, and mean it. You know, and some of them that I didn't say I'm sorry, just don't go through that shit again. Then just keep that an ongoing process, allowing God to stay right there in the middle. And that gave me the courage to change. That's changed my whole life because nothing is better than what I have today. I mean, well, I could use $1 million, but, you know, if I don't get the million, I'm still going to wake up with a smile. Because, you know, this program works. God's been real good to me. And that's all I got. And I want to thank the Laurel Mounds area of Narcotics, Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous. I can't get it all straight. I'm still doping. But that's all right. Because I'll get it straight later. Thank you.
We have 10 more minutes left. We can open up for discussion. Anyone have any comments?
No.
What's your name? Nothing further. We can close then, guys. Oh, no, tell him I'm sorry. I apologize. We need to read Just for Today.
Just for today, I will be on my recovery. Just for today, I will have papers available. 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 Just for today
okay today, I'll have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I'll be upgrading my thoughts, I'll be on my new associates, people who are not using it, but I'll have a new way of life. So why don't you follow that way?
Charlotte, you want to help us close?
Sing a moment of silence while the audience are still suffering. Sing a moment of silence while the audience are
still suffering. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
You come back and work with your word.
Go! I gotta go get my necklace.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.